Hello, grandkids, and welcome to the All-In Preview. This is Kevin DeFrango. Actually, sitting to my right is Chris Calamita. What is up, sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. Just enjoying the sights and sounds of good old suburban Chicago here. We had quite a good night last night, I would say, enjoying the local food and beverage scene.
Yeah, we definitely took in Chicago as best we could in the short time period that we did. Pollyanna Brewing and Wolf Den Brewing was sandwiched in between a trip to Giordano's, which evidently is Steve's favorite place to get some deep dish pizza.
And it was a heck of a deep dish pizza, so thank you, Steve, for suggesting that. And it was great meeting you and Derek, and we'll be meeting up with you guys again shortly.
Yep. So let's get down to the nitty gritty, I suppose.
This is why we're here.
Yep, no reason to monkey around. And as you mentioned, the best way to do things, since All In did not actually have a website, like for all the things that these guys built, a website was not one of them.
Yeah, that is the part of the amazing part of all of this is they sold all of the building all based on social media, not even advertising, just pushing it on their own social media and their own YouTube channel. They only really used Twitter and YouTube to build this up. They never built a website. They never built an official Facebook page. They used Instagrams, sporadically, essentially. Cody, I guess, created an Instagram in the last few months to help promote All In going forward. But still, this was a real Twitter YouTube effort. I mean, there is a lot to learn from the success of this event.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be learned, but I'm not sure how easily necessarily it's replicated.
That's true.
Because they mentioned it in one of their videos that people sold the place out before, like, they didn't have any matches slated yet.
No matches. They really sold this thing on a feeling. Just a feeling of trying to accomplish something. A feeling of, this is what independent wrestling has grown to. This is what you can do outside of WWE. Cody has done, I know a lot of people see this as an anti-WWE thing, but Cody, I think, has done a great job saying that this isn't about being anti-WWE. This is about showing you what else is out there and what can be done with, work and hustling and just, good old-fashioned, guerrilla marketing tactics in the social media age.
Yeah, I mean, that part can definitely be done because, I mean, there is a difference between, I guess it would have been interesting, the 10,000-seat arena is certainly not as big as anything that the WWE involves itself with, unless you're talking like maybe Madison Square Garden is kind of small as far as arenas go.
Right. Yeah, I mean, in the end of the day, they probably undersold themselves. But, of course, nothing like this had ever been done before, so you had to play it a little more conservative.
Yeah.
They could have gone to Allstate and done 15. They might have been able to gone into United Center in downtown Chicago and done 20. But, of course, then there's a lot more expenses related to that and taxes and union dues and all that kind of stuff. So maybe it wouldn't have been as prudent. There's a reason WWE uses – I think we even talked about this before. There's a reason WWE uses Allstate instead of the United Center anymore.
Oh, right.
And, of course – this is also the inspiration for Ring of Honor and New Japan to go all in themselves with the Madison Square Garden show, WrestleMania weekend, that's already sold out, 15,000 people. So, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pretty crazy, just in general, I think, that fandom is at that point.
Yeah, we're in a unique kind of sort of boom period. Not like it was 20 years ago with the amount of people watching wrestling on free TV, but with the amount of wrestling fans so passionate about the product, willing to spend money on it. This whole weekend is just like a tribute to that. I mean, between All In and StarCast and everything else going on around town this weekend.
Yeah, well, that's what I had. I got a good kick last night when I was looking on Twitter after we got back to the room here. And someone had posted something about wrestling fans needing to shower before this event. But then Bruce Mitchell's response to that was, all these people are really rich. They know how to shower.
Yeah, that is the other thing with this. I mean, I mean, we were priced out of StarCast, essentially. Otherwise, we would have done maybe a day or so of it.
Right.
But, you know, once again, I mean, it's, you know, misproving this, the offset theory that wrestling fans don't have good jobs, they don't have money, they don't, you know, they're terrible for advertising.
Yeah, at least as far as, well, these types of events go, I would think that they certainly attract a different type of audience than, you know, your typical WWE event. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there's at least a little bit less of the not showering part here.
There might be, especially when we get into StarCast and all those prices. Maybe if we're sitting in the cheap seats for all in. Hopefully we don't catch anything downwind, but once again, folks, if you're going all in tonight, take a shower. It'll make you feel better and smell better, too.
Yeah, just in case. Well, it would look like they have a couple of matches slated for the pre-show here. So I guess within the order that Wikipedia gave us here, we'll go with the Briscoes versus SoCal Uncensored, which is the Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky combination, since, well, Christopher Daniels we'll get to later. I guess that's the one interesting thing about doing a preview for this, like, there's no real storylines or anything. Like, they can really pretty much have anyone go over, and it's just...
Yeah, well aren't the Briscoes the ranked Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can definitely see, you know, a Briscoe Brothers win in a, you know, in a fun match to start the show. Maybe nothing too crazy, although the Briscoes are crazy. I mean, it's just not a real story here. I mean, obviously, the Ring of Honor Tag Team Division has kind of been carousel or a merry-go-round, just kind of the same four teams wrestling each other over and over again for a while now, I would say.
Yeah, like, I don't think it did Jay Briscoe any favors to have him completely get bumped out of the main event scene, but just because... yeah, I don't know. I haven't really been too excited. I still like him as a wrestler, but I haven't been too excited about this version of the Briscoes' title reign amongst all of their title reigns that they've had, which are numerous.
Right.
It's just, like you said, like, the division's just kind of shallow, and when they've wrestled each other for like 15 years straight, you know, when it's just the Motor City Machine Guns, Briscoes, about the newest group in there, which I don't really need to see, really, is, who is it? Oh, Beer City Bruiser and Brian Malonis, but oh, they just had a TV match against the Briscoes. Like, I mean, yeah, their roster is still certainly not as deep as the WWE's.
No, they have... They rely on Bullet Club and New Japan guys. They have essentially no mid-card or undercard going on.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. That's the first match. And, yeah, that definitely didn't get me in there. I like everyone for the most part involved. Scorpio Sky is certainly a guy that has come around more recently.
It'll be a fine opener for us once we get into our seats. And probably nothing more than that.
Hey, yep. And the next pre-show match is the over-budget Battle Royal. And evidently we've been roped into a game of paying for adult beverages afterwards by trying not to pick who gets tossed first.
Which is an interesting and good way of doing a bet like this, because a lot of times in situations like this, a winner is more easier to predict than the first person who goes out. No. I do not plan on buying beers, so I think I will be, well, I will be making the best prediction.
Yeah, well, and they only have, I think they said it was going to be a 15-person Battle Royal at the moment. As far as Wikipedia is concerned, they have 12 people, which gives us some room for some quote-unquote surprises. Jordan Grace is the only female competitor at this time. Then we have Moose, Rocky Romero, Colt Cabana, Ethan Page, Brian Cage, Billy Gunn, Jimmy Jacobs, Marco Stunt, Brandon Cutler, Punishment Martinez, and Austin Gunn.
Who is the son of Billy Gunn. So that's how he got on this show.
Wow. I guess I'm not surprised, but Billy Gunn still looks great for
Billy Gunn looks incredible. I'm here for his independent renaissance.
Yeah, well, I'm going to guess that it's still, how do I want to word this? There is still a stiffness to his style that probably does not lend itself well to aging either.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I will put that. There's definitely a difference between keeping yourself in shape and becoming a better wrestler. Those two things are not bound together. I don't know who's going to get tossed first, but you know, I don't think I'm gonna pick Austin Gunn as my choice.
I don't think so. Sometimes battle royals are hard because you'd think that guys like Punishment Martinez and Brian Cage would do really well in a battle royal, but a lot of times in the battle royal, the big guy gets thrown out first by everybody.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this one's just kind of interesting too. I guess you gotta. Well, the winner of this will be facing Jay Lethal later on the card. And I guess I don't know how. Ring of Honor seems comfortable with whatever these guys do.
Yeah. And the majority of the talents are already listed. Do not work regularly for Ring of Honor. So, but at the same time, it's a special show. It's a one-off show. You can pretty much do anything you want.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Jordan Grace and her style and everything and what she's got going for herself and the name she's built on the indies, but I don't think they're going to go with an intergender match for the Ring of Honor title. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah. That's
she might not be eliminated first, though, so.
Yeah. I guess it'll be kind of interesting to see who they end up going. I mean, I guess no matter who they go with, I don't see Jay Lethal losing.
Yeah, I don't. Although, you know what? To really cap this thing off, it wouldn't be the worst idea. I mean, it's not like Jay Lethal right now is really hot as champion. I don't feel like he is. I mean, of course, everything in Ring of Honor gets overshadowed by whatever the Bullet Club the current Bullet Club storyline is.
Right.
And the New Japan fly-ins on the big shows. But I'm trying to think, like, if there's, I mean, the only thing that's been out there, and I brought it up when we were out to dinner last night, is Flip Gordon entering the Battle Royal under a mask and then going on to win the Battle Royal and the title later that night. That'd be a good cap off to this whole Flip All-In storyline. Sorry if anyone considered that like a spoiler, but I have no idea if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah, it's only a theory at this point. I think it's a good theory. I think it'd be one that would certainly be enjoyable, considering that I do believe... Who did Dusty Rhodes dress up as? Didn't he dress under some juncture?
Yeah, well, Dusty did a lot of mask gimmicks. I don't think he ever did it in the... Dean Malenko doing the Cyclope thing during a battle royal to get the Cruiserweight title shot against Chris Jericho. That's a pretty famous one.
Yeah, so I mean, it is certainly a trope that has been used in professional wrestling before, so I would be completely okay with them doing something like that. I have a hard time believing that Flip Gordon wouldn't show up on this show at all, considering the amount of time they've given him on Being the Elite. with this storyline. Like, it just seems completely bonkers.
He's got to do something. He is in town. We're going to his party in a few hours. But yeah, I definitely see him getting involved at some point, if not the Ring of Honor title situation.
Well, we go from that to that one. I guess we'll go in order now, from top to bottom here, since they did confirm.
Well, it's a weird order.
It's kind of hard to say if this is the order they'll go in. They do have
there's no way they're opening with. We'll go on whatever you think of is best.
I'm just going by the order that they have it listed, since, you know, they don't. The only thing that they've honestly announced is that Omega versus Pentagon Jr. is the main event, I believe.
No, it's the semi-main event. I think the six-man tag is going on last.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense to have the young Bucks in the main event. That's right. They did say semi-main event when they were talking to Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Now that I remember it. So I guess, we'll just do this, in the order that, Wikipedia has it listed in, just because there's no better order, since, again, they haven't announced very much. Okay. So if they've announced the main event, the semi, they haven't announced like any type of order. And again, just because there's no real, they've had some type of storylines going on with these things, but nothing, you know, even as organized as Ring of Honor, which is, I guess, saying something. But I mean, again, it's a one-off event, so you don't need too much. But this one at least has the number one here is Nick Aldis defending the NWA Heavyweight Championship against Cody Rhodes. Is what they have listed as the number one here. I guess I agree with you. I don't see this one going on first. Just because, well.
Oh, it's the order the matches were announced in. That's now I get it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine then. We have no idea what they're going to run in, and just because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, maybe you don't want to do right out of the gate. I mean, you, I guess it's just going to be tough to pick one. Like, there's already two curtain jerkers between the tag match and the battle royal. So honestly, like, there's only two title defenses. So I guess you want to kind of spread those out a little bit too, though.
Yeah.
Nick Aldis taking on Cody Rhodes, with Brandi Rhodes.
I mean, this event is largely Cody's brainchild. This is the match he wanted, for the title. His father held three times. I believe Cody has an epic entrance planned with a live band playing his entrance music.
Oh.
His dog, his wife. Bernard the Business Bear. Lots of gimmicks to that entrance, which I probably look forward to more than the match. I gotta say, they've done a good job. They have done a really good job trying to make this feel important.
They have certainly sunk a little bit more into the storyline, even having Nick Aldis on ROH TV. And speaking of which, we did run into Ian Riccoboni in the hotel lobby, and he was very nice.
Yes, seems like a very nice guy, and I do think that he has become very, very good at his job, and I look forward to watching the show with commentary when it ends up being uploaded onto New Japan World after this weekend.
Again, just because they've sunk more into the storyline, but it's another one of those things where if Cody isn't regularly in the NWA, what's the point of giving him the belt?
Well,
drop it back real quick just to say he held it.
Yeah, they could do that. They absolutely could do that. The announcement yesterday was that Earl Hebner will be the referee, which kind of makes you cringe a little bit, thinking, oh, they cannot do a Montreal finish on this damn show. They cannot do that. This is a one-off show. Just give people good finishes and send them home happy.
Yeah, that is certainly something that to me would end up being groan-worthy if there is some type of a screw job finish that doesn't get resolved somewhat immediately. I don't need to see Earl Hebner getting punched in back or anything crazy like that. Because I guess I'm trying to figure out who the equivalent of Vince McMahon getting punched backstage would be, but I don't really have a good one for this.
Cody
can't punch himself in the face for the screw job.
That's true. I guess if Billy Corgan wants to play Vince McMahon, I guess he could do that. You know what? Oh, Billy Corgan's Smashing Pumpkins are back on tour again because Billy Corgan has been has spent millions of dollars on the professional wrestling business. No return as of yet.
Yeah, this is one too that Jeremy telling me that Aldis was just kind of going through the motions in his match this past Sunday in a baseball game really didn't help me get excited about this.
I've never been a fan. Once again, he looks the part, he talks the part, but he's never been exciting in the ring. And Cody can be good. Cody can be very good to great with the right opponent. But also, if it's not the right opponent, you get a very, you know, WWE mid-card style match, which is fine. But I think that we're shooting for higher for this entire show.
I think everyone is. Is expecting the best out of everyone at this show.
I mean, in the last video they produced for the NWA produced to hype up this match on YouTube, they had Nick Aldis going over all the people he beat essentially in TNA, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Sting, and it's like it makes you that doesn't really help because it makes you realize how hard they tried with this guy and it didn't work.
Well, yeah, and with all the people kind of going back, with all this, you're telling me that the WWE hires his wife, who's been with the company on a couple of stints, but they haven't even given him a whiff to be in NXT even?
Yeah, as I said, I mean...
I would have to think that the pay grade in NXT would be better than being the NWA champion.
Well, right now, Billy Corgan is, but maybe not. Maybe Billy Corgan really is thinking a lot into this, and you know, maybe it can grow. But depending on Cody's contract situation with Ring of Honor, New Japan, as well as the possibility of him ending up back with WWE next year, if there's someone out there, if there's a single wrestler out there that. You know, you could build around the NWA, the new NWA around. It would probably be Cody if he's sticking around.
I mean, he certainly has a certain amount of hype going for him now, and it could help their brand to have him in the fold. So yeah, I guess that one will be kind of interesting. Certainly not. Well, both of us agree that it's not really kind of high on our priority list. It would be kind of interesting. I know that Marty Scurll is not high on Steve's priority list. He will be taking on Kazuchika Okada, which again, the storyline's been a little bit thin for this one, other than Okada making fun of Scurll for being a junior heavyweight,
and Scurll desperately trying to gain weight by eating donuts. Yeah, I mean, a lot of this has been played for comedy, while also Skrull saying that he's going to be dead serious for this match. I mean, Skrull can, you know, veer more towards silly comedy during his matches. Yeah. I do like his more serious New Japan junior title, involved matches more than his Ring of Honor TV stuff, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure this will be closer to one of his New Japan matches. They gave Okada Skrull for a reason. I don't think that Okada, you know, he's been arguably the best wrestler in the world for the last couple of years. He's had a lot of tough matches. I think this is him. I don't want to say he's going to be going through the motions, but I think that this is kind of a simple, easy match for him to just come in, have a match with someone he's comfortable with, win, and leave.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of interesting that he is... is he the... well, I shouldn't say only guy since Kenny Omega is on the card. But, you know, he's one of the two guys from New Japan on this card, basically. Like, other than the guys that are kind of flipping over, like the Young Bucks, obviously, and Cody Rhodes. Like, Okada's just a staple over there. Like, I mean, he makes his brief appearances over here, but... I fully do not expect him to lose.
No, I do. I don't expect him to lose. It'll probably be a good match. First time seeing Okada live. Definitely looking forward to that. It's a match to, you know, certainly showcase Okada, and hopefully Skrull will, you know, be up to the challenge.
The next one on the list here, which could be quite a match, in my opinion, and it's shocking to me that the bad boy Joey Janela does not have his own Wikipedia page yet. Like, considering that he has been on Steve Austin's podcast at this point, I think you've quote unquote made it when Steve Austin invites you on the show. And he will be with his manager/girlfriend Penelope Ford, taking on Hangman Page in a Chicago street fight. This is one where it'll be an interesting placement on the card because both of these guys are known for going all out.
In some ways, I consider opening with this. Consider opening with this match, but at the same time, with the Chicago street fight stipulation added, this could go all over the place. They could use whatever they use whatever weapons they want. It's going to be a really, really, this match could steal the show. Absolutely, it's definitely one of the matches I'm looking forward to. This is easily the biggest match in Janela's career. Paige, you know, has had some big matches in New Japan, big matches in New Japan in the U.S. When Japan has come to the U.S., but still high up there on his list. Yeah, this match could steal the show, and it's definitely one of the matches I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of interesting. Janela's at least been wrestling longer than Paige, but Paige has certainly been on the upward trend. He was another guy where I want to say that. Because Ring of Honor just started doing it. I'm trying to think of the Top Prospects Tournament. I want to say that I started seeing him maybe a couple of years ago in one of those. And he's just kind of gone uphill and gotten better ever since. Like, I watched him in Ring of Honor, and he's just done nothing but improve since. And Janela, this will be the first time I've actually seen one of his matches. In person, I've not gotten the chance to go up to AIW to see any of his appearances up there. Both guys are kind of known for, you know, being up for anything. So yeah, this match really, like you said, like this is one that I'm looking forward to because, yeah, anything can happen, and the biggest bump of the night, I would imagine, will more than likely happen in this match.
Yeah, absolutely. These two guys are. It's going to be a pretty insane match.
Since that one was we think is the main event, we'll skip down to Christopher Daniels versus Stephen Amell. Now we have talked about a concern for the length of this show. We already said Okada and Skrull is probably going to be on the shorter end. I would imagine that this match will be on the shorter end of the match spectrum.
Yeah,
too.
I imagine this. Yeah. It's a tough match to do. I mean, I know Amell trains with Cody and has been training with Cody, you know, up in up in Vancouver while both are filming Arrow, with, you know, Amel, of course, being the star of the show, and Cody doing a guest run on the show in the coming months. This is kind of an odd storyline, because they did the whole deal with Daniels accusing Stephen Amell of murdering famous dick wrestler Joey Ryan. But then they kind of dropped that for a little bit. Then they brought it back, but then they don't mention that part. Instead, Amell has been playing more of the subtle heel in the things, like about how he knows he can beat Daniels. How hard can this wrestling stuff be? Almost insulting, you know, the wrestling business.
Yeah, it's kind of been interesting, because he's kind of blown off Christopher Daniels' experience just in general too. And he's really concentrated on his age, on Daniels being much older than him, although I guess I'm not too familiar with how old Stephen Amell is either.
He is definitely younger than Chris Daniels, yeah.
Yeah, but he's still not exactly a spring chicken at 37.
No. So 37 is not, that's older than me at least.
Yeah, he is younger, stronger, and bigger. I do, you know, I have at least moderate expectations, because was he in a tag match in the WWE with
Cody? Yeah, he did the SummerSlam tag match, then he did a match in Ring of Honor that's kind of, was almost like as a surprise.
Yeah, oh, okay, there's a decade difference.
Yeah, there's a decade difference. Once again, the story of the match has kind of has changed. They're not presenting Stephen Amell as any kind of a underdog babyface here.
Oh, right.
You know, this is almost as turned into Christopher Daniels, you know, defending the wrestling business against this outside, this punk actor who thinks he's a wrestler now. So I do think that the way the story is going now, I see maybe a clean win for Christopher Daniels.
I would think so. It would be kind of interesting if Mel ended up being the winner in this one, just because, again, he is not a full-time wrestler. Like, I guess it'd be fun, but then it's pretty easy to taunt Daniels about losing to a non-wrestler for anyone else that faces him for the remainder of his career.
You could go there. I mean, but if they were to go there, to me, I feel like they would have set up Mel as the underdog babyface who, you know, wins via roll up. I mean, you could still have Amell win, but I do think that this is being set up for a Chris Daniels win, you know.
Next up on the list here would be the women's match with Madison Rayne taking on Britt Baker, taking on Chelsea Green, taking on Tessa Blanchard. This is another one that, at least wrestling wise, has potential match of the night stealer on it to me. All four women can wrestle well. So, yeah, I mean, it could be a real banger, and it's the only women's match, which helps it stand out, too.
Yeah, it does help it stand out. I feel like all the women will be ready for it. Madison Rayne has had a very interesting year. She has worked Impact, Ring of Honor, the Mae Young Classic, and now All In. You know, just literally doing All In like 2 weeks after completing the however well she did in the Mae Young Classic that's been filmed and is going to begin airing next week.
I guess it's been interesting too that not that she hasn't mentioned All In, but she's continued to mention how great it was to be in the WWE, and it's just like, I'd understand if she'd want to go there for some type of a run at this juncture. She's always been one. I guess she was another one where she was in Pro Wrestling Ohio. Pro Wrestling Ohio. So I've kind of seen her from the early days. So I always pull for her. I did see Britt Baker at one of the AIW events that I attended, and she is a very good wrestler in her own right. Without mentioning her more famous boyfriend.
Yeah, no. We're not going to do that on this show. She's good. I'm she's the one I'm most unfamiliar with. But, you know, I've heard good things. Although it does look like, I think that she did recently finish dental school, I know I saw. So I think that she's probably, this might be, who knows, this might be one of her last matches. Because I don't know why you would go to dental school and then continue wrestling semi-full time.
Yeah, that was one that's been kind of interesting. She, I don't know if she's wrestling down in Orlando. I know that John Thorne, AIW, has mentioned that his talent pool has thinned a bit because of some people relocating to Orlando.
Yeah.
Including her. I guess this is another one, though, that whoever wins, I'm not sure that it matters in the scheme of things. One would think that maybe Tessa Blanchard, since she is the Impact Women's Champion at the current moment, an inside track on the W.
Yeah, I was thinking Tessa Blanchard. She seems like she's getting the biggest push of maybe of all the women on the independent scene. I think that, you know, she's worked hard for it. Chelsea Green is in this odd situation in that she's left Impact. She tried out with WWE, didn't even get selected to the Mayan Classic nor signed to NXT. So she's probably at she might be at like a crossroads in her career, actually, where she's going to go from here. I mean, independently, the options for women are not as strong as it is for the top men on the indie scene. You know, if you get passed by WWE, and, you know, by a certain point in your career, you know, who knows where things are heading with her. But I do think that you're right about Tessa Blanchard. I think that, you know, the sky's the limit for her. I was surprised that she'd signed like a 2-3 year deal with Impact.
Oh,
that keeps
right.
away from going to WWE anytime soon. But I also didn't know that she was only like 23 or 24, so she's got plenty of time as well.
I think it was a 2-year deal. I was a little surprised too. And I guess in some ways, like I stopped watching Impact when Chelsea Green was on there. But I did really love the whole hot mess gimmick that she ended up having going on, just because that occurred during the Hardy stuff.
Yeah, that was all very strong when she was left at the altar and continued wearing her wedding dress and then never took off her wedding dress. Yeah. Chelsea Green can be very good.
Well, that's one of those things, though, that I kind of saw the character more than I saw her wrestle. So I think she's good. I think from the few matches that I saw, she's good. So to me, she's kind of, to me, she's the only one that I haven't seen that much really in the ring, because that was all character stuff and it was great. So we'll see how, I know that she had an online poll for who she should show up as for this event. I do believe that Chelsea Green was winning out, which is probably for the better. Like, that hot mess thing worked for what it was, but she could probably move on from it too.
If WWE is her end game, I think that she needs to, because I don't think they bring her in as the hot mess and go with that. So yeah, she needs to be the best she can be as Chelsea Green, and this is, of course, you know, essentially the biggest match of her career.
Well, I guess we head on then to the semi-main event, which is Kenny Omega versus Pentagon Jr. I know precious little about Pentagon Jr.
Oh, Pentagon Jr. is a, you know, he's a Mexican star. He's he works for both AAA and CMLL right now. He is, I believe, still the champion of Lucha Underground, at least based on what's been airing recently, although I have not been keeping up on Lucha Underground as much. He's really, really good. He's also an Impact. He's been doing a very hardcore blood feud with Sami Callihan.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was the biggest basis I had, was Kenny Omega spitting out the water, and he's like, "What, the deathmatch guy?"
Yeah, he has kind of veered towards that. I mean, he's a good worker, but he does a lot of brawl stuff. This is the match that's kind of that This is one of the matches on the show that's kind of more of an indie dream match that you just throw this match together that could not possibly happen anywhere else. I look forward to it. It might be something of a clash in styles, but sometimes those clashes make for great matches. Omega's definitely on a roll.
Yeah, and even like that match that Omega had with Chris Jericho. Oh, and we forgot to put the no housekeeping sign up.
Oh.
So there we go with that. Gotta love real life interruptions. I was gonna. I guess the line of thinking that I was on was that Omega and Chris Jericho has something of a brawl, but that was more. There was just a lot of ground. Based on that, like I didn't feel like they did anything completely bonkers with ladders or anything like that. You know, it's more of just like a hard hitting affair that happened to use like a table and a chair and things like of that nature. And I guess I don't see Omega going out of his way to, you know, use anything more than those fighting tactics in this match, just to keep himself somewhat safe from diving off the top of a damn ladder.
Yeah, no, I could see this. Well, because we're already going to have one hardcore brawl on the show with Janela and Paige. I think this will be more of a wrestling. I mean, I'm sure it'll be a hard hitting affair. I'm sure they will, you know, I'm sure they'll do a lot. There's high expectations for this match, and I think they'll live up to them. And because Kenny Omega is the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, it's one of those matches that I don't feel like the end result is it's too much in doubt.
Yeah, I guess that's, we've kind of done that with all these matches involving champions, leaning towards the already champion, even if their belt isn't on the line. Because, yeah, Tessa Blanchard, Kenny Omega, I guess the Aldis Rhodes one is the only one that we feel a little odd about. We thought the Briscoes would win. So, yeah. We thought Jay Lethal would win. So, yeah, I guess that'll be kind of an interesting one. I guess another one that... I am not familiar with two of the six participants in what should be the main event here, with Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido with Theo Ross taking on the Golden Elite of Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and Kota Ibushi. Yeah, I mean, this one...
This is going to be a spot. This is going to be the old spot fest. This is going to be a lot of dives, a lot of big moves.
Would you say there are going to be a lot of super kicks?
There will be a lot of super kicks, much to the chagrin of one Mr. Steve Williams. There might be a super kick in the crowd if he if he gets a little lippy with me. Bring it, big boy. Phoenix. I've seen a lot of him. He's getting a lot of work lately. He's very good in Lucha Underground. He just recently became the heavyweight champion in AAA last week after Triple Mania. So he's really good. Obviously, Rey. You know, for all we know, Rey will be back in WWE imminently after this show.
Looking that way. He's another one where he's like Chris Jericho. It's just like you can't say no to him at this point. You know, no matter what he does outside of the WWE, like he definitely has enough history with the company that they're okay with him making an appearance at this or New Japan. Just because when he's in the WWE, he's going to get eyeballs on him, so they're going to keep bringing him back.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know they've done different promotions have done a tag match with Matt Jackson, with the Young Bucks against Rey Mysterio partners. This isn't the first time they've met. That was the first time I've seen them meet, and Rey and Kota Ibushi, you know, mixing up together, that should be very, very good. Bandido, I'm not as familiar with. I've outside of some clips on YouTube after he was announced, he seems like a very, very good luchador, a great flyer. I mean, this match was put together, and they brought Bandido in. I think when they decided to go with Kenny Omega and Pentagon Jr. as a singles match,
right? Yeah, because that's for some reason I thought Pentagon Jr. was involved in this six-man match at some juncture, but you know, I could be wrong on that front. Yeah, I mean, I think you did a good job of encapsulating it. Like, they're A, just because it's the Young Bucks event, or at least co-authored by the Young Bucks, I would definitely imagine the Golden Elite going over in this situation and sending everyone home happy.
Except Steve Williams.
I do not think Rey Mysterio will take the pinfall in
nor will the champion of AAA. Bandito, we're looking at you, kid.
Yeah, you may be great in the ring, but we're looking at you taking the pinfall, Chief. So I think that's are there any closing thoughts? This is one of those things where I guess this is, I'm really looking forward to this. Although it is weird being devoid of storyline for the most part.
Yeah, it's weird. Again, it's all about the experience of being there. I'm not even sure how it's going to translate to television. I've already seen a number of people who I follow on Twitter talk about how there doesn't seem to be any urgency to actually watch it live for $40. Oh. Especially when New Japan has announced that they are going to put it on their service that you, along with everything else you get if you're already a subscriber to that service,
right,
after the show. But no, it's about live experience. It should be a fun show.
Yeah.
Lively crowd.
And I guess speaking of not watching it live, I do know that one Jeremy Mays is just like, oh, it's going to be up on New Japan later. Yeah, I'm watching football.
Yeah, and I've also seen that too. Yes, it's the first. Yes, it's the beginning of college football season, which means nothing to me. But apparently, some other people consider this like their happiest time of the year. So good for them. We'll see how it all goes once again. No, but we're there live. So this was designed as the ultimate live wrestling experience, and I think that's what it will be.
Okie doke. Well, for I'm at DeFrango11. That's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Say hi to us if you see us tonight and you're listening to this and you happen to be there. If not, rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And have a good day.
Later.